in our world, we can think of many examples where people in foreign countries right now are suffering hunger. They're suffering great physical hardships, horrific cruelty, sometimes even massacre, because of the leadership of godless people. But may we remember today that even though pain and evil and suffering do exist in our world, it is not evil that those things do exist. There are benefits to pain and suffering, are there not? Pain can let us know that maybe we need to go see a doctor. Pain can let us know that something is too hot and that we're being burned. The cross of Jesus Christ was a very painful, excruciating thing for the Son of God to bear. And yet look at all the positive results that came from that sacrifice. Because of the pain and suffering and agony of Jesus, we now have the hope of eternal life. We enjoy the forgiveness of sins. And we have great expectation for the future because of the pain Jesus suffered. And pain and suffering, I think, can contribute to the spiritual development of people. Doesn't an event like 9/11 remind us of how uncertain life is? Does it not remind us that we can't become attached to the material things in this life that are fleeting and that will not last? But may we remember that no amount of evil, pain, and suffering in this life can rob us of our heavenly hope when this life is over. And we need to realize that heaven will surely be worth it all. But as we reflect and remember on those events some 10 years ago, I think another lesson that we can learn is that there is a day of reckoning coming for wrongdoing. You know, when I saw that tragedy unfold, as many of you did 10 years ago, one of the first things that kept coming to my mind was the folks that committed this act must pay. You, just like me, desired that justice be carried out against those perpetrators of terrorism. President Bush even affirmed several times in the hours following that great tragedy that those who committed this act will be hunted down. And I think all of us agreed with that. We wanted them to be found. We wanted them to receive just punishment. And of course, we rejoiced in that justice seemed to be carried out, as we heard the announcement just a few months ago about the death of Osama bin Laden. But you know as well as I that oftentimes people who commit various crimes seem to get away with it. Sometimes it seems like that our justice system isn't all that fair. It seems like sometimes that, you know, folks that have enough money and that can hire the right kind of lawyers, it seems like those folks can get away with just about anything. Perhaps there's some truth in that to a certain degree. You know, we like for justice to be carried out swiftly. We want it done efficiently. We want justice to be carried out on our own terms. We want it to be meted out in our own timetable. But may we never forget that there's a day of reckoning coming before the judge of all the earth, who knows our thoughts and our desires and our motives. There's absolutely no escape from the righteous judgment of God. The Bible says in Romans 14, verse 10, "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself in the day of judgment." I think we need to remember 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, which says that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad. I think we need to remember the words the Hebrew writer wrote in Hebrews 10 and verse 30. "We know him that says, vengeance belongs to me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. The Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God." Let's realize that as we think about what happened 10 years ago, that God's justice is true. God's justice is right. And God's justice will always be fair. One day we're going to have to give an account of our lives. But as we reflect and remember, my time is short today, so I'm not going to be able to go into as much on some of these points as I would like, but I want us to think about the fact that spiritual terrorism is alive and well today. I think all of us, and rightfully so, agree that terrorism in our nation, as well as in our world today, needs to be eliminated. Terrorism today needs to be destroyed. I think we are appalled, we are angry that such could exist and be responsible for things like what transpired 10 years ago. Our feelings toward those individuals that would carry out such heinous acts sometimes are so strong that they cannot be described. Now, if I were to stand before you this morning, if I were to say we need to be very open to the views of those who carried out these acts 10 years ago, that we need to be understanding of these folks that carry these out, and understand that in their mind they had some valid reasons why they did what they did. If I begin to talk along these lines today, you would not even let me finish, would you? Before you had me physically removed from this podium. Any attempt on my part or anybody else's part to commend or to embrace those that would propagate such terrorism would be immediately opposed. Yet today, if we're not careful, we embrace spiritual terrorism. We need to understand today that Satan is that great spiritual terrorist. He's a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. And Satan today uses many avenues by which to attack us as members of the Lord's church. You know, 10 years ago, my children had not reached the age of accountability. 10 years ago, I had the hope that perhaps the Lord might come back again before they reached the age of accountability. I knew what they were in for. I knew the battles that they were going to face as they got older and reached the age of accountability. And now that my children have grown older, now that each one has obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, my thoughts and prayers have changed. You know, this morning when I left Bible class, I walked right beside the entrance of the living walls. The bell had just rung, and I just had to stand and watch in amazement as the kids came out of their classes and literally filled the hallway coming out of their classes into the foyer and into the auditorium. A bunch of them. And I think about their future. I think about what their life is going to be like down the road. You know, my prayer for my children, my prayer for our young people, my prayer for those that are older today is that we'll have the strength, that we will have the stamina that it takes to be true to our convictions, that we will always be willing to set apart the Lord God in our hearts, 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, and be ready always to give an answer to every man who asks a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I pray that my children and our young people will not be swept away by denominationalism. I pray that my children will not be swept away by Satan's plots and plans to get folks to compromise the Word of God, to be politically correct in their approach to what the Bible says, but that we'll be true to our convictions, that we won't allow the world to infiltrate our lives, that we'll be distinct from the world in how we dress and how we talk and how we think and how we conduct ourselves. 10 years from now, as was true 10 years ago, a lot of changes will take place. 10 years from now, my children will have left home. They'll be making their own decisions. And I pray that they'll have the convictions and the dedication to God's Word, that they'll be true to what it says, that they'll buy the truth and sell it not. One of the reasons 2 weeks from today I'm preaching a sermon on why we don't use instruments of music in worship is for this very reason. We need to understand why we do what we do, that it has nothing to do with personal preferences. It has to do with respecting the authority of God's Word. But may we realize today that spiritual terrorism is alive and well. I close today briefly with this point on a very positive note, and that is, as we think about what happened 10 years ago, we need to put our faith and our trust in the God of heaven. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Proverbs 3 and verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your steps. Zephaniah 3 and verse 5 says that God never fails. I submit to you today as we close that we need to trust God no matter what transpires in life. We may not know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. I hope today that we'll think about being prepared to meet God. Today it may be that you're outside of Christ, never obeyed the gospel. This morning you can come to Jesus Christ for salvation. You can, in simple trusting faith today, repent of your sins. You can make that confession that Jesus is the Son of God, Romans 10, 9 and 10. Today you can be baptized into Christ, Galatians 3 and verse 27. Buried with your Lord in baptism, Romans 6, 3 and 4. And you can leave this building a new creature in Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. This morning, the invitation is yours.